Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to the show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, she, hers, he, hims, they, thems, zers. Today, we're going to be having a fun conversation. Shakira is catching heat on the internet for saying she didn't enjoy the Barbie movie, and neither did her sons. She felt though as though it was emasculating. We're also going to be circling back to J.K. Rowling, who may or may not go to jail based on Scotland's new hate crime law. Plus, we're talking all things Trans Day of Visibility, which apparently we all observed yesterday, against our will. But before we get into that, we have Taylor in Portland today.
Portland, yes, that is exactly where I am. And we are not telling any jokes because it happens to be a certain day. But yeah, excited about today's topics. And as always, Shakira's hips don't lie and apparently need to do her words.
Wow. Good one, good one. Yeah, no, a lot of people were circulating the Shakira story and saying, I really hope this is an April Fool's joke because how dare she not like the Barbie movie? And I really didn't anticipate this going as viral as it did. But apparently, if you are a woman, you are not allowed to dislike the Barbie movie. It is the Bible for womanhood and modern day feminism. And Shakira had a different opinion on that. We're going to read that today. It says Shakira shares her thoughts on Greta Gerwig's Barbie. It says, quote, my sons absolutely hated it. They felt it was emasculating, and I agree to a certain extent. I'm raising two boys. I want them to feel powerful while respecting women. I like pop culture when it attempts to empower women without robbing men of their possibility to be men, to also protect and provide. I believe in giving women all the tools and the trust that we can to do it all without losing our essence, without losing our femininity. I think that men have a purpose in society and women have another purpose as well. We compliment each other, and that compliment should not be lost. And there's baby girl Shakira hanging out right there. Now, again, wow, this was the hottest of takes. If you're going to say something and have it be against Barbie, I think that's one of the worst things you could possibly do on the internet right now. Everybody's going crazy, calling out Shakira, saying, you know, I normally love her, but this is the worst take ever. How dare she call this an emasculating film? This is the feminist manifesto. And if you don't like Barbie, there is something wrong with you, which you all know. I want to watch Barbie. Taylor went and watched Barbie. I subjected myself to that film, which made it all the way to the Oscars. This is just shocking to me. It made it all the way to the Oscars. Now, of course, it was a really high-grossing film. People really enjoyed it. They really loved Barbie. It brought in over $1 billion, which I believe Greta Gerwig became the first solo female director to do exactly that with this blockbuster film. But I had a lot of issues with the messaging of Barbie. And I do echo the sentiment that Shakira shared in this interview of it kind of was emasculating. Now, I get it. It was a film made for women, by women, and it sort of portrayed what could be the feminist utopia of Barbie Land, where all the Barbies have these different jobs and women rule everything and there's a matriarchy and we put down the Kens up until the end of the film where we realize that we both sorta kinda need each other, and they extend that message over to the Kens while giving them no real forms of power within this Barbie Land that they've created. And you go on this journey and you get this whole monologue slash soliloquy from America America Ferrera's character in the film, where she just details how difficult it is to be a woman and all these different things that we have to worry about as women growing up in this generation. And for a lot of people, that really resonated with them. And in this culture of modern day feminism, I can see why Barbie movie was so popular. Just for me, it didn't hit. And I could see how, as a man or a boy, you could go and watch this film and have a feeling that the creator of it doesn't really like or appreciate you that much. It's very much made clear throughout the duration of the film that as a man, you are in the position of power. Ken goes out and learns about the patriarchy in this film and wants to bring it back to Barbie Land. And he learns just how much men rule the world while simultaneously weaving in the theme or idea that men are inferior, that they're ignorant, that they're not as well versed as they think they are, and that women would be more capable as leaders. Now, I don't think that's a crazy message to walk away from the film having received from it, although it tries to reconcile it at the end with the Barbie Ken apology and the fact that her sons watched the film and walked away feeling a little emasculated. There you go. It's just criticism. You know, not every film is going to be liked by everybody. Not every film is meant to be liked by everybody. And that's something that I feel is true about Barbie. They created this film knowing that it was going to be abrasive for some and, you know, ruffle some feathers a bit. And they were okay with that. And I'm okay with that. So long as we allow Shakira to share her opinion without being absolutely torn to shreds on the internet. It's really as simple as that.
And torn to shreds she was. And that was when I first read this commentary from her. I was thinking, this is all pretty fair and reasonable. I mean, she's saying, you know, men have a purpose in society. Women have a purpose in society. They should be able to complement one another. That seems like a very wholesome message that, again, to me is in line with some of the Barbie messaging that you reacted to on this channel before the Barbie movie came out, of like their commercials from back in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. in which the message was very much, we girls can do anything like Barbie. And they portray young girls becoming doctors and nurses and astronauts or whatever it may be. And that was a very like wholesome message, because it was like, you can be empowered as a woman, and that doesn't have to come at the expense of men being disempowered or the empowerment of men. And that, to me, was more along the lines of what the original Barbie messaging was. And that's the spirit of what Shakira is saying. But apparently, unless you subscribe to this new feminist interpretation of Barbie that is kind of much more on the side of men have had their day, it's women's turn to run the world, and we should all kind of live in Barbie Land. And yeah, Ken, you can kind of be here, but just kind of take the back seat. You know, once we fill the Supreme Court with all women, you guys can have a couple seats back. You know, that was kind of the way that the Barbie movie left off. And just the reaction to Shakira's relatively benign statement, in my estimation, was surprising, because you have all these people that's like, unless you subscribe to this new feminist orthodoxy, you are a traitor against it. And that was just surprising to see. So the Barbie goes viral yet again.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm kind of over the discourse on this film. I think what Barbie did wrong is that it viewed the world and, you know, perpetuated a view that was particularly black and white when it comes to being a woman and being a man. There's a lot to be said about the difficulties of being a man, as well as the great things about being a man. There's a lot to be said about the difficulties of being a woman and the great things about being a woman. But it did sort of feel like a modern day feminist 101 fiction land was thrown out there. And, you know, with that being the case, it wasn't the best film for me. And, you know, Shakira does sort of represent the essence of femininity. If you look at her, if you look at her career, she's very much, I think, could be referred to as what many would believe to be the divine feminine. So it's no surprise to me that this is her take on the film. Now, Christian Walker, who is, interestingly enough, used to run around in conservative circles, he's kind of gone through a rebrand and decided to post a response to Shakira. Many people are posting responses to Shakira. I just want to make that very clear. But this one's getting a lot of views, and people are responding to it, and it's resonating with people. Let's listen to what he had to say about Shakira's take on the Barbie movie.
Shakira has come out against the Barbie movie and said that her sons felt emasculated by it. This is not going to be me slamming Shakira. I love Shakira. I came on here and supported her when her husband had another woman up in her house cheating on her, probably because he felt emasculated by her power and success as a woman. So I love Shakira. I want to say three things about her comments. One, she says she likes pop culture when it empowers women without robbing men of their masculinity, but that's the problem. The modern man feels emasculated simply by the modern woman existing. The modern woman having success, being empowered, having a movie to go see with her girlfriends that isn't directly catered towards a man makes the modern man feel like, wait, what? It's not all about me. I feel emasculated. Women shouldn't have to alter their entire lives so you don't feel emasculated. Man up. Two, it's crazy that Barbie was the phenomenon that it was. It's smashing records. People are dressing in pink. They're throwing Barbie-themed parties. And it almost felt like just because the girly pops were having fun and they had something fun for them over the summer, men got angry about it. They're like posting think pieces saying they feel emasculated, going off. Like, no one forced you to go see the movie. You're welcome to stay home and watch the Lego movie. You're welcome to go see the Mario Kart movie or whatever. No one forced you to go see the movie. Like, women are allowed to have things for them too. And clearly when they do have things, it's huge, smashing box office records, just like Desperate Housewives. Desperate Housewives was turned down all these times, and then it went nine seasons, because it was catered towards women.
Boy, I got it. You know, normal, I'm like, so far, let me listen. How dare you? How dare you bring Desperate Housewives into this argument? You all know that I've been watching Desperate Housewives. I rewatched that show, like, I don't even know how many times at this point. But how dare you bring Desperate Housewives into this? And if we really wanted to go into analysis on that show, it has so many different themes interwoven, so many different belief systems interwoven. Both the masculine and the feminine is very evenly represented in that show. But sorry, that clearly struck a chord with me.
Women are allowed to have programming, too. The third thing I want to say is just a note to boy moms, because I've had it. My mom's a boy mom. I'm her only child, and she didn't raise me coddling my bad behavior. If I did something wrong, she called me out, and she didn't raise me to be comfortable all the time. Shakira saying her 9 and 11-year-old felt emasculated by the Barbie movie. Okay, if my son felt emasculated by a Barbie movie, I would say to him, well, we need to go do some inner work so you're not emasculated by a woman existing or by a pink movie. This is ridiculous. Boy moms who coddle their children, coddle their boys and think that their boys have to be comfortable all the time, raise narcissistic adults who then go on to wreak havoc in other women's lives. I've had it with this crap. I am so sorry, boy moms and men everywhere who hated the box office record-breaking smash hit Barbie. No one dragged you to the theater. Stay home and watch Legos next time.
Okay, so we love a good rebrand. That's clearly the path these went down. You know what? People change their mind all the time. You know, Christian Walker has been like, he did his conservative thing. Now he's doing the, like, I think more feminist, I think, is where his content leans right now. Totally okay. He's brought that to light. That's his current viewpoint. It's interesting that he's not really gotten into what would be the actual criticism of the film. And I think instead of attacking Shakira and her kids, who he states were 9 and 11 when watching this film, I think a more interesting thing to do is to be curious. How is it that a 9 and 11-year-old, who are typically probably not analyzing films, how is it that kids of that age left a movie theater feeling that way about a film? How is it that 9 and 11-year-olds were able to understand those deeper themes and communicate to them and attach themselves to them and come out of it on the other end feeling emasculated, as Shakira calls it? I would say more so than probably feeling emasculated, they felt like they just watched a movie that hates men. Why is it that they felt that way? I would be so curious as to how two children came to that conclusion after watching a film. We should explore that a little bit. And maybe it's the fact that Barbie was a very black and white film in regard to men and women, and it painted men as being these sort of ignorant, power-hungry individuals that, if given the chance, would instate a patriarchy as soon as the opportunity is presented to them. And that when losing that power, they just turn into these sort of blithering idiots who don't know where to go without women. And if that theme can be communicated to an audience of 9 and 11-year-olds, maybe we should ask ourselves whether or not that's a healthy message to promote. And on the flip side, is it a healthy message to promote to young women, to give them a package of how hard life is to be a woman, and also tell them that they should, you know, essentially run the world and there should be some sort of matriarchy? just questions that we should ask ourselves. Now, mind you, tons of people enjoyed the Barbie movie. He keeps referring to the fact that this was a box office hit, that it brought in $1 billion. That's wonderful. I love that people enjoyed it. I love that people have a film that represents their ideology, that represents the things that they support. But just because something is popular and beloved doesn't mean that the messaging is correct. It doesn't mean that it should be safe from criticism. And where he says, don't engage with the film then, don't bring your sons to it, we should engage with things that we disagree with. We should watch things that we have to contend with that make us question our worldview, or at the very least make us question someone else's worldview. We're not meant to just stay in our little echo chamber bubbles and never watch anything. And yeah, the kids should think, well, why did that make me feel emasculated? Am I right or wrong in that belief? And learn from the experience and move on. It's just a movie. And you know what? People have criticisms of things for a reason, and that's okay. If there a film came out with a particularly, I don't know, right-leaning or conservative message, and people said, I don't like this, I felt like it was indoctrination towards X agenda, and here's the reason I didn't like the film. That's okay. I wouldn't encourage them not to go to the movie theaters anymore. I would say, I would love to hear what is your pushback towards this creation, and how do you feel it could have been better? How do you feel like it could have represented you better? It's just ridiculous to be that level of upset, to give that much energy towards two little boys who had a little bit of criticism for a film.
Yeah, don't invalidate their experience, right?
Right.
And you're right that, you know, this was a box office hit, and I think that that truth lends itself to the fact that the movie deserves a little bit more scrutiny, because like it or not, and I think we're coming to understand this more in modern times, but it's the we come to understand our world and our place in it and how to act in given situations through stories. We're not just in a reality of cold hard facts and process. Like, especially little kids, they put their worldview together through the stories that they're told. And for what, in prior generations, things like Star Wars or whatever, now, you know, every big blockbuster movie hit that comes out that is watched by the children of America under the banner of this, or just even all the young girls of America under the banner of this Barbie toy, which we know historically has the weight in the culture of the go-to girls toy. So it shouldn't be a message that is really politicized toward one ideology or another. It should promote, as to Shakira's point, this more wholesome message that men and women are complementary, and cast that vision for society. And whenever that IP of Barbie as a toy that is supposed to appeal to everyone, everyone lets their guard down, they go in the theater, they go to watch a story about a toy that shouldn't have any sort of, you know, bent or messaging telling women how difficult they have it, and telling men that they don't really have a place or that they're prone to oppress, the things that you've kind of laid out. Kids go in there and are just kind of absorbing this worldview that is being put before them. And of course, you know, one movie is not going to shape your entire worldview, but it adds a little bit. And who knows what other messaging they're getting from the rest of culture on TikTok and other films and other TV shows, balancing that out from what their parents are teaching them. But it's an important thing, I think, is all I'm trying to say. And I think that the more success that the movie has isn't a testament to that, to necessarily what it got right. It's just a testament to the strength of the Barbie brand and the fact that we should scrutinize it a little bit more and look for what it's actually saying, so that we understand what kids are taking away from that. And if these kids are taking, and young boys who watch it are taking away a sense of being emasculated, that should be a concern. And I don't think it is very charitable to look at that and then just say, you know, this was for girls, what are you worried about? Like, there are reasons to care about this.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially if you look at just all the media that people are consuming these days, and how nearly without fail, everything that's coming out, be it for adults or children, has some form of political messaging in it. It's like they almost cannot help themselves but inject it into the narratives that you're watching. So if we're walking away from yet another film that is doing exactly that, it's really more so a pattern than it is something to be, you know, upset about. We're just recognizing what is happening within Hollywood. And I think anybody on any side of the aisle can recognize that not only is that what's happening, but a lot of people view these endeavors that they're taking on in Hollywood and media and entertainment as opportunities to indoctrinate, as opportunities to shove their agenda. We reacted recently to the new director of Star Wars, The Acolyte, saying, you know, this is going to be a queer story because I watched Frozen and it didn't really have that many heterosexual elements. So I want to usher in a new queer Star Wars story. And you hear this time and time again with people coming forward to create these projects and just letting you know, like telling you straight to your face exactly what form of messaging they want you to derive from the film. And no film is an exception to that. Every person who creates a film is trying to communicate a message to you. So we shouldn't chastise people for trying to analyze and get down to the bottom of what that message is or explain how a movie made them feel. It's almost like that is what art is for, to get you to watch it, to hear a story, to maybe find something deeper about the human condition, to understand the message of the director, of the, you know, the screenwriter, and then to take it home and analyze. And that's why we enjoy art. So, you know, even if there's somebody you disagree with, you probably shouldn't come after them all that hard for having an opinion you dislike. Of course, contend with the opinion, have a debate, go back and forth. But my goodness, the vitriol towards Shakira for saying it was an emasculating film when it does somewhat feel like that was the message of the film is crazy.
Yeah, and then just to put a button on this, I do want to just acknowledge, because I'm seeing some of y'all in the chat saying it's just a movie, blah, blah, blah. This is not to take anything away from, like, the creativity that they used. The visuals were amazing. The music was really fun. The performances of Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie were excellent. Like, all of that is true, but it can also be true that while that's there, beneath that, there is a worldview that is trying to be communicated with all that. And so we're just saying that it's okay to identify that, be honest about that, and then analyze and critique that. That doesn't mean that the movie was a bad movie on the terms of art or in terms of its performances or music or anything like that. So, and which Amala had said in her original reaction to the Barbie movie as well. So just for the record.
Yeah, yeah. Go check out my Barbie critique if you want like a more expansive view of what I thought after seeing the film, because I went and watched it in London and then just went to the park and filmed my reaction to that. So you can check that out. Now we're going to stay in, I guess, gender and sex based news, but we're moving away from emasculation and into defeminization of the world a little bit and talking about J.K. Rowling. You got to know J.K. Rowling's my girl, my future cellmate, apparently, because she has consistently been talking about the gender debate that we're going into right now, the cultural clash that we're experiencing around transgenderism and our views on sex and gender. She makes it very clear that she believes in the binary system of gender, sexuality, or sex, whatever you want to call it, you know, men, women, and that there are men who think that they are women in the same way that there are women who think that they are men. But it is simply that, a thought and a belief that is not consistent with reality. And she has stood 10 toes down on the fact that that is her opinion. And it could very well lead to her arrest, because Scotland has a new hate crime act that they've instituted that levies out protections to people based on race, on sexuality, on their gender expression, particularly when it comes to being transgender, all, I guess, in an effort to help people, extend to them safety and protection, so they say, although we know that's not really the case, and it's just to disenfranchise people who have opinions that you do not like and to step on free speech. But J.K. Rowling does not care. She said previously, which we've covered on this show, if I have to go to jail for 2 years for saying what I believe, put me in jail for 2 years. I will happily go for being able to express for just expressing a view that she feels she should be able to express. Now, she hopped on X, formerly known as Twitter, to talk about this hate crime act. And I'll let her sort of speak for herself. We'll read her tweets on this, because this lady, you gotta love her. You gotta love her when it comes to this topic. She says, Scotland's hate crime act comes into effect today. Women gain no additional protections. And that's an important part. While they've sort of enumerated all these different protected classes, women is not a protected class under this new hate crime act. So just remember that. So she says, women gain no additional protections, of course, but well-known trans activist Beth Douglas, darling of prominent Scottish politicians, falls within a protected category. And here is this trans activist by the name of Beth, who's posting photos of her slash himself with knives and axes. It says, it's been real, y'all. I'm going to sleep. Hopefully when I wake up, it's good news. Be nice to yourself. Remember to breathe. And if you need some time out, take it. Lastly, if it all goes tits up or whatever the result, direct actions gets the good, and you can take the change by force with a photo of an axe. What do you think that means? Take the change by force. You guys think about that. I'll let your little imaginations run wild on what that could possibly mean. Lovely Scottish lass and convicted double rapist, Isla Bryson, found her true authentic female self shortly before she was due to be sentenced. Misgendering is hate, so respect Isla's pronouns, please. Love the leggings, and take a look at the lovely Isla, who again was convicted of double rape. Fragile flower Katie Dolatowski, who is 6'5", was rightly sent to a women's prison in Scotland after conviction. This ensured she was protected from violent predatory men, unlike the 10-year-old girl Katie, who was sexually assaulted in a women's public bathroom. And there's the lovely flower that is Katie, apparently. Samantha Norris was cleared of exposing her penis to two 11-year-old girls. Hooray! Unfortunately, she was then convicted for possession of 16,000 images of children being raped and sexually assaulted. Be that as it may, Sam's a lady to me. And it just keeps going. It keeps going. And of course, we could add our own stories to this. You could add your own stories to this. Drop them in the comments after the stream. Scottish woman and butcher Amy George abducted an 11-year-old girl while dressed in female clothing. No idea why this was mentioned in court. Of course, she was wearing women's clothing. She's a woman. Amy took the girl home and sexually abused her for over a 27-hour period. But most women aren't axe toters or sex offenders. So let's talk role models. And this is Julia Valentino in red here. Wanted to play on a woman's team because of sisterhood, validation, and political visibility. Naturally, she was given some boring cis girls' place. Yay for inclusion. Okay. Now this one, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Myrtle, I guess, Wadwa. Head of a Scottish rape crisis center says sexual violence happens to bigoted people as well. She has no gender recognition certificate, but was still appointed to a job advertised for women only. Time to be challenged on your prejudice, says rape victims. There we go. There's a photo of that individual. Monroe Bergdorf isn't just a pretty face. Public campaigner for children's charity until safeguarding concerns were raised. She was appointed UN's first ever UK champion. Quote, what makes a woman has no definitive answer, says Monroe. Great choice, UN women. And this just goes on until, of course, she gets to India Willoughby, who J.K. Rowling had a very famous altercation with that is still ongoing, where she referred to India Willoughby as a man because India Willoughby was born a man, but India Willoughby is legally referred to as a woman and has gone through the process of changing the gender and actually getting a certificate that says the gender has been changed. So J.K. Rowling, I guess referring to India Willoughby as a man was some sort of offense, and India Willoughby went as far as to call the police and report J.K. Rowling. So J.K. says, last but least, TV's India Willoughby proves we women can call a black broadcaster a, quote, nasty bitch who, quote, wouldn't be anywhere without woke-dub lesbians men. Okay, insult the look of a female Olympic swimmer, joke about kidnapping feminists, and still get airtime. What a gal. And there is the good old India Willoughby that reported J.K. Rowling to the police. Then J.K. Rowling says, April Fools, only kidding. Obviously, the people mentioned in the above tweets aren't women at all, but men, every last one of them. In passing the Scottish Hate Crime Act, Scottish lawmakers seem to have placed higher value on the feelings of men performing their idea of femaleness, however misogynistically or opportunistically, than on the rights and freedoms of actual women and girls. The new legislation is wide open to abuse abuse by activists who wish to silence those of us speaking out about the dangers of eliminating women's and girls' single-sex spaces. The nonsense made of crime data if violent and sexual assaults committed by men are recorded as female crimes, the grotesque unfairness of allowing men to compete in female sports, the injustice of women's jobs, honors, and opportunities being taken by trans-identified men, and the reality and immutability of biological sex. Now, you can go on and read the rest of what J.K. Rowling says here, but there are some very valid concerns as to the nature of this hate crime act and what happens when it is instituted and it plays out in Scotland. And what this involves is people being able to call the police on you and place a report for something as little as misgendering them, which if you're probably watching the show, if you're a fan of the show, at least I should say, and not a critic of the show, you've probably misgendered somebody in your time here. I can raise my hand right now and say I will be going on to misgender people on this program. And it's not something that is done out of malice. It is not something that is done out of hate. It is something that is done out of the recognition of reality and out of the protection of women's spaces and rights, which are very much valid things to protect and care about. So in Scotland now, I guess you can have the police called on you. Now, there's no clarity as to how far this goes in its practice and what it means for somebody that is reported. But, you know, really the pain is in the process here. And what you're going to have to deal with is people out of malice towards you calling the police and filing a report. Then the police have to come and investigate. They can seize things like your laptop, your phone, in order to look into the acts of misgendering or hate. And it's going to be weaponized, right? People are going to find those that they disagree with, that they don't like, who have gender critical views, and they're going to say, you have committed a hate crime against me for expressing those gender critical views. And now with this new hate crime act, they will have a valid basis for that complaint and for filing it with police. And if we don't think that this is going to be weaponized, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We've already had a case here in the US of a woman confronting a man that went into a woman's bathroom. Of course, it did become a somewhat violent altercation. I believe a push was exchanged in that. And that woman was arrested and convicted on the basis of that act being committed out of hate because of the misgendering. Now, if we don't see the sort of lines being drawn in the sand right now and where this might very well be something that gets instituted here in the US, I think we're being a little blind. Because it's coming, and again, they gonna have to lock me up, put me in the slammer, in the clink. I'm gonna be the least intimidating, member in the prison. Because I can't. I'm sorry, I can't adhere to this. And luckily, J.K. Rowling does not care, and she is really standing on business and saying, I'm going to continue to say what I want to say, and that involves misgendering people, because it does take a person like her to do this, unfortunately. It takes a person of her status. It takes a person of her popularity, because imagine this leading to her being placed in jail or fined or imprisoned in any way, shape, or form. I think there's a reason that she invites it. One, because she is accepting reality, but also two, because she knows the tidal wave of a response that would come in the wake of something like that happening to her, to someone who is as well known, as well respected, as well regarded as her, to be put in jail. It would really point out the lunacy of what we're experiencing right now. And I'm glad that she is not backed down in any way, shape, or form. Even with all the different threats and attacks being committed against her, whilst people claim that she's committing attacks against them. It's just insane. And to hear these stories, which are even more powerful than what J.K. Rowling's doing, of how there's real consequences to this ideology and this set of beliefs. We are talking about real female victims of sexual assault, of violence, of murder. This is what we're talking about. And we're almost inviting more actions like this and telling predatory men that there's a wide open door for them to walk through in order to commit these acts more. And then when you're convicted or even arrested. Just self-identify as a woman and see what leniency you can gain in that process. And there is leniency to be gained. We've watched it happen in Scotland in the many examples that that J.K. Rowling just laid out for you. We've watched it happen here in the United States where people have been granted leniency. On a prior show where we talk about the fact that these are not our crimes and they will eventually be logged as crimes committed by women if they have not already, I spoke about the case of a person by the name of Hannah Tubbs. Now, Hannah Tubbs is a biological man, okay? And Hannah Tubbs decided to sexually assault, I believe, a 10-year-old in the bathroom of a popular restaurant here in the United States, was arrested and said, I'm actually a woman. I identify as a woman. It is admitted that Hannah Tubbs was given leniency in that case and probably due to the identification of being transgender woman. Hannah Tubbs went to jail, ended up making a phone call while incarcerated, just laughing and chuckling on about this 10-year-old victim and about the fact that he was granted leniency. Now, this person went on to also commit the murder of a homeless man by, I believe, bashing this man's head in, was later convicted yet again. Now, I don't know what's going to happen as far as what facility they're going to go to, whether or not it's going to be a male facility, whether or not it's going to be a female facility. But ask yourselves, are these typical crimes of women? Are women typically going out there and committing double rapes or bashing homeless man's heads in with rocks? Not typically. I'm not going to put it out of the realm of possibility because we all know people do some crazy things, but we know that this is not normal. But if we follow this ideology to its logical conclusion, these things are going to be logged as women's crimes. So now you're losing your spaces, your privacy, your rights. Crimes are being logged that are not yours, and we're just simply not adhering to reality. And on top of that, if you acknowledge those things and if you sort of like raise the flag and say this is a little bit concerning, jail. They're gonna put you in jail. Clown world.
Clown world indeed. And it is time to start confronting this stuff head on. And I love that J.K. Rowling evidently had this thread ready to roll. You know, she was ready to fire this thing off as soon as it became today, April's, as soon as this law went into effect. And I love that she's being proactive. And I think that is what it's going to take to kind of take the initiative, you know, like in war and fighting, they talk about seizing the initiative so that you're not always reacting to things. And I think, I mean, in a sense, you could say she's reacting to this, but really it's a change in demeanor toward the issue when you are seizing the offensive and you're saying, go ahead and try to enforce this stupid hate speech law that you are passing and see what happens. And just basically calling their bluff and really putting the issue front and center in front of the world and saying, let's see who's really being reasonable here. And I think this issue has gotten so bad and so pervasive and so much harm has been allowed to happen because it's been this sort of sneaky, little by little, incremental process that usually appeals to general people's sense of nicety and, well, you know, just say this gender and that, you know, just so you don't come off as bigoted or offensive. And people make these little compromises, even though it does violate their conscience or it does violate your sense of what is true and it feels detached from reality. But we just don't want the trouble of dealing with, you know, an upset person or being thought to be bigoted by this loud vocal minority. And I think we've just reached the time where if we don't seize the initiative and if we don't have people like J.K. Rowling and if we don't have as everyday people start to speak out in anticipation of the blowback and start going on the offensive with reality on our side, we're going to lose it. You know, it's like reality, love it or lose it. And I think we have to start engaging with these issues more assertively so that we're not always on our back foot because we've seen what happens when we're doing so. And the scariest thing is when these new ideas, when this ideology gets codified into law, because now people like India Willoughby can say, well, I'm legally a man. You called me the wrong thing. You've committed a crime. I'm going to cry to daddy government. And according to what's been written, now I get to punish you. And they use that to punish you and intimidate you into silence and into compliance. And I even heard it recently. Someone said that this compelled speech when it comes to misgendering and things like that is a form of shaming you mm-hmm. into submission. And so on the surface, while it feels like they're just asking you to be polite, it's kind of a you know, struggle session, public humiliation ritual, where they are getting you to make a compromise in your own convictions. And by so doing, you become morally weaker, you become less courageous, and you're giving assent to things that you don't believe to be true, but you're pretending as though they are, to indulge other people. And all that just needs to stop. And I love that J.K. Rowling's flipping the script, and I think it's setting a great model for how we need to tackle this issue going forward.
Yeah, it is quite literally the instatement of thought police. It's legitimate thought policing. If you are not allowed to espouse these beliefs out loud without some sort of threat of law enforcement based action, they are policing your thought. And they are, while under the guise of telling you it's just something you need to do out of respect, or we don't want you to be able to commit acts of hate against people, what they are giving you is a list of beliefs that you must have, at least publicly. These are the beliefs that you are allowed to have. And if not, if you fall outside of the parameters that we've given you for what you're allowed to think and what you're allowed to say out loud, you will be committing a crime. That is nuts, especially when it is something that is relatively new and so drastically up for debate that we are going to continue this debate about gender and transgenderism and sex for decades to come. This is just the beginning of what is a very long conversation as a society about this sort of idea when it comes to being able to change sex and what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a man. And now they're sort of jumping ahead of that journey to figure out where we lie on this issue and telling you, no, here's where you lie. And if you say anything outside of what we've told you to say, you will be dealt with, essentially. You will be dealt with. You will do time. You will do time. Insane. Nuts. And again, we're going to go back to the fact that there's not protections extended to women in this hate crime act. Isn't that not insane that there's protections that are rendered for people of a transgender identity, meaning men who say that they are women, but there are not explicit protections rendered out to women, which is why 10 toes down, I stand again on the fact that there should be no laws about hate speech, no laws about hate crimes, because who gets to determine what is hateful? And there's this brilliant interview that I encourage you all to watch. I'm just going to show it briefly here on Talk TV. It's titled, "This Will Be Weaponized: Fears Scotland's New Hate Crime Law Criminalizes Free Speech." And a woman gets on to defend her gender critical views. And she goes back and forth with seemingly a left-leaning guy who's saying, you know, I'm not too worried about this law. We don't know what's going to happen. And very quickly, the entire conversation devolves into lunacy as soon as she misgenders. And you guys know I don't like the phrase misgenders. India Willoughby. And he goes back and forth with her, accusing her of being hateful and malicious, which is exactly how we get these laws. You cannot create something like this based off of somebody else's interpretation of what is hate and what is violence. Your speech, it's not violence, especially when it comes to expressing gender critical views. So we'll see how this is applied. Again, there are protections extended to people based on sexuality and race, so that's going to bring a whole other slew of problems, but I'm particularly concerned about the gender and sex element, and specifically the transgender element of this, because we should very much be able to express our gender critical views, especially when we recognize how deeply this is already affecting women and how deeply this is coming and going to affect women. I'm thinking about the Planet Fitness situation that we covered on this show, and the fact that a man can walk into a women's locker room and shave in there, or the Wii Spa situation where a man can go into a women's spa and expose himself to women and children there, And to think that if you called out that man and said, you're a man, you do not belong here. Not only that, you are a man exposing yourself to women. Now, under this new hate crime act, they could report you to the police and say that you were a malicious actor and that you acted out of hate towards them. Think about during COVID, you know, what happened in the United States and countries alike, where you had little spats between people that now you could call the police and say, oh, well, they're breaking the rules of COVID, the regulations that you've placed on us. Come and deal with these individuals. Now you are just weaponizing beliefs. And it sets a very dangerous, I don't even know if I want to call it a precedent, because the precedent's already been set. We've already seen people arrested. We've seen men transferred over to female prisons. We've seen all this different talk about hate crimes and hate speech and the like, when it really needs to just be done with. Who gets to define what hate is? And remember to continue asking yourselves and others that question, especially those who support laws like this. Who decides what is hate? You could say something to me and I could say, oh, well, that felt really bad. I feel like you said that to me out of hate, when in reality it was a benign and innocuous statement. Much like the statement of pronouns like she, her, he, him, they, them are often benign, innocuous statements, but they very well could be interpreted to be hateful by anyone. And now you'll have to deal with law enforcement.
No gracias. No gracias. We did ask you guys in a poll here in the chat, should hate speech laws exist? And we have 8% at yes, 76% at no, and the rest of you not sure. So about a 10-to-1 ratio of those who say they should not exist. And gotta say, I agree. And it is scary. And hopefully Scotland repeals this law expeditiously, as Amla likes to say. Yes. I'm actually planning a trip to the UK later this fall, and was planning to go to Edinburgh, Scotland, and maybe find a distillery somewhere up there and visit and look at all the awesome architecture, because there's such an awesome cultural heritage there. And I gotta say, like, man, this is not a good look. I'm probably still gonna go, but I'm slightly worried about getting thrown in jail now for expressing my views, which is just a crazy thing to think that, you know, the UK, the British Enlightenment, our sister country, it's this bastion of liberalism and free speech. And then the idea that I'm scared to go there because of this new hate speech psychopathy is just wild to me. It's similar to how I felt with the whole Australia thing. They throw in people into COVID concentration camps and that type of thing. So it's wild how quickly we can descend into authoritarian measures, as Amla was saying. Now, I'm sure it's not that bad, but my goodness.
Yeah, the thing is that it's kind of like a wait and see type moment. We don't know how bad this is going to be, but we know that the principle of the matter is just very much incorrect. And if you allow people to run with this and, you know, put into action new laws like this, there's no telling what they're going to come after next. And think about how new this whole trans visibility, this, my pronouns, that is. And they're already writing legislation about it being protected and about transgender individuals being a protected class when it comes to what you can say. Think about what's next, because this is relatively new. And by new, I don't mean that transgender people have not existed in the past. I mean, as far as its cultural significance and the rate at which people are identifying as transgender, non-binary, this and that, that is very much new. And that is something that cannot be missed, because there's going to be more around the corner. What's the next new protected class where we're not going to be able to say anything? And if we give them the power over speech, as insignificant as pronouns and things like that, what's the next thing they want to have power over, what you can and cannot say? And that's why there's going to be protests, I think, all over Scotland today, and particularly where these lawmakers are, where people are speaking out and contesting this new hate crime act, and as they very well should. And again, shout out to J.K. Rowling for really bringing visibility to this act and things that are happening right now. Now, speaking of visibility, you guys, some of you enjoyed Easter yesterday. I'm non-religious, so I was just chilling at home. But if I didn't want to enjoy Easter, I could have enjoyed Transgender Day of Visibility. Guys, this is a new holiday for all of us. We unfortunately do not get time off of work to observe this Transgender Day of Visibility as it falls a Sunday. But Joe Biden says here, on Transgender Day of Visibility, we celebrate the joy, strength, and absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. Today, we show millions of transgender and non-binary Americans that we see them, they belong, and they should be treated with dignity and respect. Okay. I can certainly second that we see them. I can certainly second that they should be treated with dignity and respect. And I could, you know, second that they belong to a certain extent. We'll sort of break that down a little bit in just a moment. It depends on what you mean by dignity and respect, because I believe all people deserve dignity and respect. Does that dignity and respect mean that you get to police my language and tell me what to say and tell me what to refer to you as? And that means that biological men can go in my locker room at Planet Fitness or be in a female prison or be in the women's section of a spa or go in the women's bathroom. If that's what dignity and respect means, then I'm sorry. I cannot be extending that to you as of today because I care about my safety, my well-being, and my rights. So, you know, all of this is really packaged in this beautiful language that makes you feel good. Dignity, respect, belong, we see you. But what it really means is that we are going to infringe on your rights and your spaces as women. And this says trans rights are human rights. That's a little photo that he put out that some intern probably made. You know, what does that mean? What does trans rights mean? Does it mean transitioning children? If not, you know, if it does, then no. Does it mean that you're allowed in women's spaces? No. Does it mean that you're allowed in women's sports? No. Women's prisons? No. Whatever the case may be. You already know my take on this. But it's very interesting that Sunday was made into this transgender day of visibility because, of course, it's Easter. I can only imagine that this is, it feels like an attempt to ruffle feathers. It feels like an attempt to incite what would be a less than ideal reaction from the political right, and not even the political right at this time, but people who are just rational and are adherent to the reality of biological sex. It does feel like a sort of jab to see what the response is going to be, just how far you'll go, and then to point at them and say, you guys are full of hatred. See, we tried to create a day for transgender people and the world went crazy. Now, luckily, I think people harness that energy a lot and just gave it back in respectful criticism of Joe Biden and this decision to make this day into a transgender day of visibility. He was ratioed to all hell on the several tweets that were put out about this day. And you know what? I've never seen a more visible group of society than transgender people. They make up a small portion, a very small percentage of the population, yet they're damn near everywhere and everybody's talking about it and we're getting new laws and protections that disenfranchise women and men to a certain extent if we're really talking about the definitions of these words. I think the visibility is quite high. I don't know that we need a day dedicated to it. And you guys can call me a transphobe, but I say the same thing about Black History Month. I'll say the same thing about a Pride Month. I'll say the same thing about any given day, week, month that they want to give to a particular group of people to shout their grievances or be seen on the basis of what is a superficial part of their identity. That's really it. I don't know that we need a transgender day of visibility. Quite frankly, I don't know what that means, again, considering they're one of the most visible groups in our society as of today.
Yeah, now I've seen floating around Twitter the lists of the calendar days that are devoted to various types of LGBTQ plus awareness. I'm seeing one from Charlie Kirk. There's 145 days on the calendar celebrating LGBTQ plus. It's almost every other day of the year. I just saw that today is apparently Trans Ally Visibility Day. So we celebrated trans people yesterday. Today we're celebrating the trans allies. We have the entire month of June as Pride Month, and Lord knows how many others. International Drag Day, I'm seeing, Harvey Milk Day, Agender Pride Day, just on and on it goes. And I don't think the visibility is the issue. And you're right, Amala, that it does feel like a slight. Now, a lot of the immediate reaction that I saw on Twitter from Christians and from conservatives was kind of framing this as this is something that Biden is proclaiming today. It's the first time they've done it. And they're doing it specifically on Easter Sunday, specifically to undercut, you know, the most holy Christian holiday. And as I looked into it more, I came across information that apparently they have been celebrating this holiday for the past 3 years of the Biden administration. I don't know that he's issued a proclamation each of those years, and the holiday happened not to fall on an Easter in the prior years. So I guess that takes a little bit of the, you know, air out of that offense, or the heat out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the way in which he issued the tweets, issued the proclamation, it does feel provocative. And I've been following James Lindsay speaking about this a lot. And he's, you know, very much in tune with just how ideologues try to take over societies and such. And he made a point that, like, a lot of times with this type of thing, when an ideologue is pushing forward, they're looking for the reaction. They want to evoke a response that they can then criticize. If you go out over your skis, if you then do something aggressive, if you cross lines and call them names or do something, you know, to put your own side in the wrong in some way. And so they're able to couch themselves and have that layer of protection of playing, you know, playing innocent, saying we're just trying to promote visibility, saying we're just trying to protect this marginalized class. But in so doing, they're doing this aggressive move and looking for the provocation. So I want to get your thoughts kind of on, you know, how do we draw the line between responding in a appropriate way that does not take this BS from the ideologues who are trying to promote this ideology into society, and yet not kind of cross that line into being reactionary, and in so doing sort of losing that, you know, I guess moral authority, or losing the high ground, so to speak, in fighting back against it. Because of course you want to fight back, but you don't want to do so in a way that gives the people who are provoking you exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah, I guess it's just all about doing it with respect and dignity, for lack of better phrasing, based on what Joe Biden put out there. The truth speaks for itself. So all you have to do is say the truth. You don't have to, you know, do an ad hominem attack. You don't have to throw, you know, words at them. You don't have to even attack particular people in your criticism of a day like this, you know, being given extra visibility, or, you know, because this grants so much more than just a day towards a group of people. As I said, we've already gone through the many ways in which the, I guess, acceptance of this ideology leads to so many other problems for so many other groups of people. So it's about calling that out. I saw a lot of people, you know, use the Transgender Day of Visibility to promote crimes that have been committed against women and children at the hands of people who have identified with, you know, transness. And that's a way to highlight the issue. Another way is just to say, you know, I'm not going to observe this day. And here's why. And it's not out of hate. It's not out of malice. It's just where I stand on the issue. And that speaks for itself without it being an attack. You don't have to go, you know, protest here or storm here or whatever they want to accuse us of doing. Just call it out. I mean, the fact that he's getting ratioed on this tweet is just such a simple way to say, you know what? Absolutely not. And here's the group of people that disagree with what you're doing right now. And well, quite frankly, at least on this platform, they outnumber you. I like to think that just logically, this cannot go on for much longer, because it's just so ludicrous to people who are reasonable when they see stuff like this happening. But then I get another piece of news and another piece of news, and there's another hate crime act, and then another person gets arrested, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really just going to continue till I don't know when. But all I can say is, you know, I hope that I don't, you know, hold these beliefs with true hatred in my heart. And if that is the case for you, then you should be able to communicate without that without hatred being conveyed through it, although some people are going to interpret it as that, and that's the real basis of the issue and the problem and the hot water that we're now going to find ourselves in. But just continue to do what you do. How other people interpret it, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you at this point, because now that interpretation is being codified into law.
Mm. But yeah, I love that you're highlighting the response of showcasing the negative consequences of the ideology, the harm that it causes in response, and defeating the idea on the merits rather than simply responding in some vitriolic way or out of, you know, giving an emotional response in reaction to being provoked that lacks really, it's kind of like, let's make this a referendum on the wrongs that you're doing. Right, I'm not going to give you the luxury of putting the onus on me to justify my missteps in response to your provocation. We're going to keep the focus on the way in which the ideology that you are advancing is causing harm by encroaching on women's spaces, compromising the integrity of women's sports, threatening women's safety, etc. And I think that that is the best way probably to keep that in focus. And then your second point about kind of keeping the common sense, reasonable people in view, to where there are plenty of people who are maybe like on the fence with this. And if they see you as Christians or in the Christian community, like freaking out and responding in kind or responding worse in vitriol and not being measured and having good faith and being precise in what you are responding to, and you're painting with broad brushstrokes, etc., then they're less likely to support your side. And ultimately, if you're trying to eradicate this ideology, and it's being promoted by people who are presently occupying political office that are of a certain persuasion and of a certain party, and you want to remove them from office and put in different people, then you're going to need people who are willing to be persuaded, able to be persuaded to join you. But you're going to lose those people if you become this overly reactionary type. So I think all of us, you know, even as angry as this made me as a Christian to see and make it feel like, man, they're undercutting the, you know, our day and kind of dissociating our country's, you know, heritage from Christianity and all this stuff. And it's like, I have such a deep appreciation and cherish so much of what this day is supposed to be about. And it is an insult. But it's like, how do I, you know, be angry and sin not, like scripture says? Like, how do I funnel that into productive energy that is actually going to improve outcomes and move the ball forward toward the society that we want to live in, rather than simply furthering division and polarization and giving the provocateurs exactly what they're looking for in so doing?
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? As somebody who's non-religious, the day of Easter does not, you know, mean much to me, doesn't harbor much significance for me. But when I hear this like trans day of visibility, I'm thinking, well, I definitely don't agree with that, but for a much different reason. And I think something brilliant about what J.K. Rowling did is in that thread that we went through where she highlights these crimes, she can put her own spin on it and do this sort of like facetious thing where she refers to them as the pronouns that they've chosen. And that sort of does highlight what's going wrong with everything that's happening. But the story speaks for itself. So grant them the Transgender Day of Visibility. But on Transgender Day of Visibility, let's post about this stuff that's happening. Let's post about the children that are being taken away from their parents because they want to transition, and the families that are being split up. Let's post about what these surgeries look like for sex reassignment surgery when people aren't getting a full scope of that. Let's post about the complications that befall this sort of ideology and follow people for the rest of their lives. Let's post the studies about irreversible damage. Let's post to people who are gender critical that, you know, we enjoy the views of and we've learned something from. And that is your Transgender Day of Visibility. I'm giving visibility to what are the very real ramifications of this agenda. So I will grant you the day that you've decided it's going to be. And I will adhere to the idea that we make these things more seen and heard and accepted. But I'm also going to do it through the lens that I have. I would argue the lens of reality that I have. And there you go. There's your visibility. I'm going to make it as visible as possible that this agenda is not particularly helpful and doesn't have people's health and wellness in mind, and certainly doesn't have the health and wellness of our society in mind. So there you go. I mean, mm-hmm. if they want to create the rules of the game that we play, then play by the rules and find your little loopholes. And then, you know what? I think people are going to find really interesting ways in Scotland to start combating some of these things while not, you know, committing an infraction on this hate crime act, and where people will try to get you at every single turn when it comes to the things that you think and your personal beliefs. Play the game and get them back. And we'll find a way to do it. J.K. Rowling's managing to do it. We'll see if she faces any jail time on that. Shakira, a lot of people would love to put her in jail for her Barbie take. But I don't think that's happening anytime soon. We will have really gone downhill if you go to jail for your take on a film. But like I said, we're seeing more and more stories like this pop up. A man went to prison was arrested for putting offensive stickers up that talked about how, you know, white people are going to be the minority, I believe, what did he say, a decade or so from now was his theory that he put on those stickers, and then boom, he gets arrested. You had the whole Nazi pug situation years back where a guy made a joke about his dog being a Nazi and then ended up being arrested for that. You have the lady in the bar that I told you about arrested and I believe ended up getting community service and probation or something like that. Something crazy. Just something absolutely wild. So these stories are boom, 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 creating little blips on the map, and they do lead somewhere. You've gotten our hypothesis on where they lead. I would love to hear yours. Do you think this is just, you know, grandstanding on behalf of the Scottish government, or are they actually going to be going after people and putting them in jail or fining them or, you know, at least making them victims to the process of investigating these crimes? It's got to be a whole situation if somebody calls the police on you. We are going to get into your super chats, hear from you guys on this stuff.
Yeah, speaking of getting your thoughts on these situations, here we go.
Yes.
Joy is our first one today. Says, PBD, my second favorite podcast, had Roland Fryer on his live stream this morning. An important conversation.
Yes, we love Roland Fryer on this podcast. I always encourage the people to check him out. There's a great little mini documentary about his ascent into academics and his fall at Harvard, when he was essentially attacked for the beliefs that he held and what he studied famously, right, was just the black experience. Yeah, it's not even beliefs. Just
the results of his studies that he stood by.
Yeah, he just did research and found an answer, and people were upset about the answer that he found through his research. So it's just nuts. Check him out.
Yeah, he's great. Maybe we could talk to him sometime. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I would love that.
Kwazakule Mfeka says, happy Monday, Amal and Taylor. How was your weekend? Ha, first on Mondays and Wednesdays don't matter as much as Fridays. Damn.
We'll still take it. Happy Monday, guys. My weekend was good. It was chill. I went out dancing with my best friend. Had a little good time. A little boogie. And then I chilled at home Sunday.
Well, yeah, despite the Biden administration's best efforts, I went out and had a lovely Easter Sunday with my family. I went to my brother's church. He's got a few kids. And they did like a Easter egg hunt after the service. And then we went to my brother's in-laws house, and they live on the lake, and we went on the boat and had a bunch of food, had a bunch of people over, and all kinds of Easter themed treats and stuff. So it was a lovely day. And that was my weekend. Saturday I played golf, not too well, but I played.
We still played,
trying to get back into it.
That's all that matters. So,
yeah. Let's see. Taylor Fan Club says, a best part about SNP's new law is that, you know, liberals who criticize Christianity or a culture of upholding traditional values will not be held accountable for their hatred or bias.
Well, and it's like they shouldn't.
Not a protected class. That's what the law is about, I'm sure.
The thing is, like, there should be none of these like protected class for like what you can and cannot criticize. You should be able to criticize religion. You should be able to criticize, you know, people of different sexualities. You should be able to criticize people based on their transgender identification. All of this should be allowed. And the fact that we're even going down this route is just insane. And I hope there's not like a retaliatory you know, force on the other end who says, well, this one should be a protected class. And if this one's a protected class, why not this one? Because then we're all just going to be protected classes and we can just shout at each other over the things that offend us. Or we could just allow people to have beliefs, whether or not we agree or disagree with them, whether or not we view them to be bad or good, and then just live our lives. Just live our lives. Just live, y'all.
Just everybody live. Just chill.
Yeah, just chill.
Don't be a Huberman says, hey there, A and Tay, W Shakira and W based takes on masculinity. These kinds of common sense takes must be spoken more often. W Latinas as well.
Yeah. W Latinas as well. Yeah, no, it's crazy that like she just gave not even her film critique, but the film critique of her 9 and 11 year old, and people are freaking out. It shows you how sensitive our culture currently is, that something as innocuous as that is trending on the internet.
It's like that. I mean, it's cult-like, right? If you express doubt in the orthodoxy or say something that defies it, then you're an outcast. And as a celebrity, as a woman celebrity, she's kind of expected to toe the line of loving the Barbie movie and loving everything it has to say and loving feminism and all these narratives and promoting that. And so put a toe out of line, and then the full force of the puritanical orthodoxy comes after you. And there you go.
Yep.
But kudos to her for speaking her mind.
Stick to it.
Randa Lorien says, this is the perfect live to ask this on. What are your demographics like? Do you have more males or females watching? Female viewer here. Love you guys.
Aw, love you too. We have a pretty even split. Y'all are male and female, just like right down the middle,
just
which
tough
is
to
so
do on
cool.
YouTube, honestly.
Yeah, I'm honestly
YouTube
shocked.
Is very niche dependent.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool that it's like so evenly spread, and age-wise too. I think it's
pretty even.
Gen Z and millennials are the biggest cohorts, yeah, as you'd probably expect. And so it's really cool. It kind of just reflects y'all.
Yeah, I feel like we've got like a good amount of every age, except for like young people don't watch this show for the most part. And yeah, our demographics 50-50 split, male, female. Yeah, which I don't know what I expected. Maybe I expected a more female audience, but that's very cool. The males are rocking with us because we were rocking with them.
Yeah, we were watching that show on Head video the other day, and she was like, 97% of you are male.
Yes.
Like,
damn, the men love shoe. The men love shoe. I get it. She's a cute girl.
Yeah, I mean, which is totally fine. Yeah, rock it out. Like everyone, you know, it serves their niche, and that's awesome. But I think it's really cool. But
yeah,
we got an even split. Saverick says, hey, remember when I said much of the propaganda in media is meant to be subliminal? It's been a tiptoe for decades. Now it's more and more in your face. Imagine that there are people so dim that it's still subliminal.
Yeah, it's so funny because I do feel as though a lot of the people creating movies and TV right now do think that they're subliminally messaging. They think that this is not like overt, and it's so in your face. It's insane. But they truly don't view it as messaging, I guess. A lot of them, at least. I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of them really don't think that they're trying to promote any particular message to you. And that's even crazier to me, that it's just not even on their radar that that's what they're doing when they create a film, that is just overtly telling you what they think and believe.
If you're ideologically possessed and you want to make, you're in a position to make a film about things that you deem to be true, what comes across is going to be your ideology.
Yep.
And the fact that it's not true, or that it is rigid, you know, dogmatic sort of thinking that is communicating specific ideas that are up for scrutiny will never occur to you. You'll just think, and that's why we hear from Disney, like new Star Wars check. We're not being political. We're going to take the politics out of our content. They don't think they're being political because they're ideologically possessed. Meg Mason says, would they quote unquote cancel Harry Potter movies because of this? Also, my boyfriend and I love you guys' podcast, Spitting Facts.
Yeah, I mean, no, because they bring in so much revenue. And I think if anything, like the corporations care more about revenue than they do about the actual agenda. It just so happens that the agenda gets them revenue now with things like ESG and all that fun stuff, which we have gotten into many times before and won't bother with today. But I don't think so. Funnily enough, I had somebody tell me a story of a friend of theirs had gone to work and was speaking to a gay coworker, I guess, and said, you know, over the weekend I was reading my Harry Potter books, and this gay coworker goes off on the girl and is like, how dare you read the works of a transphobe? It's like disgusting that she would read Harry Potter, and is just lighting this girl up because she said, I read a Harry Potter book over the weekend. So there are people who truly believe that Harry Potter should not be given the time of day because of the things that J.K. Rowling has said in her personal and in her public life on the internet. But I imagine it's still a smaller demographic, and it just, she just always, you know, reigns when it comes to Harry Potter. Everybody was going to boycott Hogwarts Legacy when the video came out, and nobody was going to play it because she's a TERF and a transphobe, and then it ended up being like one of the most downloaded or like highest grossing video games the year that it came out. Good storytelling that actually speaks to something about the human condition and deeper human truths is always going to trump these like ideologically possessed people who want to take it down.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, she's got that FU money / FU IP where she owns this thing that everyone's going to want to keep adapting because it's just inherently great storytelling and a crowning achievement in creativity and literature. And hey, they're going to keep, it's going to keep generating revenue. And I think it kills so many people in Hollywood and in the activist media, et cetera, that she's going to be involved in the HBO adaptation. I'm hoping that her vision wins out and they don't get to get their tentacles on it and make it something less. But also, J.K. Rowling got some thick skin because back in the day, it was, when I was growing up, it was, you can't read Harry Potter because it's witchcraft and it's demonic and she's, you know, this, it's anti-Christian. And that was like me and my Christian, you know, people in the Bible Belt, kids growing up, were like not allowed to read it. And so she used to get it from that sort of dogmatic religious fundamentalist side. Yeah. And I think that probably prepared her for the dogmatic ideological pushback that she's getting from the gender people these days. And so it's interesting. She's been on both sides of that and kind of just held her ground the whole way through. So it's really cool to see.
She's very powerful. She's been through a lot.
Chicks Flick says, you made a tweet that said skin color is the least important thing about you. After slavery, segregation, Jim Crow, and redlining, whites disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I can grant that there's a time in U.S. history where people made race far more important than it should be. But that's the very nature of it. It was made to be far more important than it should be. And if we can acknowledge that and say that historically we put race on a pedestal that it should not have been on, then that means in the year 2024, race is one of the least important things about you if we're truly going to live with an integrity and a sense of actual equality, because that's what equality looks like. So the fact that people have exploited the idea of race in the past towards their own benefit, which really, I mean, it has less to do with being white and more to do with wanting to be powerful, in my opinion, doesn't mean that we should carry over that philosophy in retaliation to what they did in the past, if that makes sense. You don't fix, don't fix past discrimination with present discrimination, although many people would argue you should.
And for more on that, you should watch Saturday's video reacting to Coleman Hughes' appearance on The View, where he's arguing in favor of colorblindness and they are coming after him and disagreeing vehemently. So that's a good sample of content that also covers that topic.
100%.
Let's see. Diva Dawn says, I criticized the White House this morning on Instagram and haven't been able to post since. My comments are labeled as bullying and harassing, apparently.
I wonder how that works. Yeah, I've gone through my turmoil on Instagram. I obviously don't post on there as much as I should or as much as I used to. But yeah, I've found that there are certain things that just trigger something. I'm sure people can also report the things that you post. So it's hard to ever know what's going on these platforms. Which is why it's a whole nother problem in itself. Big social media, if we'll call it that.
Yeah, another dimension of the same conversation we were having about Scotland's hate speech laws, like hate speech policies on social media platforms.
Yeah.
Who gets to define what constitutes hate? Who gets censored because what they said is out of line? And then you're enforcing certain ideas. And,
it just never ends, y'all.
Same stuff.
I'm always in business because this stuff never ends.
Yeah. That's that job security, at least. Yeah. Unless you get censored.
Yeah, there we go. Unless I'm done.
Join Patreon, by the way. Free shout out. Yeah. If you want to keep Amala from being censored.
Although I'm pretty sure people have been censored on there too, but oh my gosh.
That's true. Yeah. send cash, money to whatever that P.O. box that you still haven't opened.
That's how we'll fund the revolution.
Yvonne Jameson says, Scottish here. JK is a legend, and I hope she sees this through and exposes the insanity of all the BS.
Oh, yeah, I think she's sticking to it. I don't think she's going anywhere on this issue. I think she's put her flag in the ground and is saying, you know, this is a hill I'm going to die on, baby. So she's there, and we're here to support her. I don't know. I feel like it's got to be that the majority of people, I feel like, can at least understand where she's coming from, if not echo the same sentiments. I'm just waiting for that to be more clear.
Just had a Braveheart flashback, speaking of Scotland, when William Wallace is standing and the guy's going to throw a rock at him and he's like, you'll move. And he's like, I will not. Would you like to see him crush me like a worm? But that's J.K. Rowling standing there. He's like, I'm going to throw the rock.
You ready for this? For all my male viewers, I've never seen Braveheart.
Oh my gosh. Just one of the best movies ever. I heard it's not super historically accurate regarding Scottish history and William Wallace, but who cares? Yeah, it was awesome.
It's okay, as long as it's awesome.
Britt Cormier says, how interesting that people are complaining of someone putting on a special day on their holiday. I wonder how the pagans that celebrated the spring equinox felt about that holiday being converted to Easter.
Yeah, well, I have no ties to either holiday. I'm just saying, why does this exist? As for the Christians, you know, it makes sense that a holiday that is meant to revere a pivotal piece of your faith, you'd probably not be too keen on making that transgender day of visibility. But y'all, I don't understand it. I don't understand National Donut Day. I don't understand Women's Month. I don't understand, you know, Black History, all this different stuff. I'm like, what are we doing? This is just too much for me. The day of the week is just the day of the week for me. And I do what I got to do that day.
Pumpkin Cow Cat on the Moon says, hello from Scotland. Thank you both for covering this thought crime nonsense. I had to better stop watching your channel in public just in case.
Ha! Continue. Actually, play it on loudspeaker in public. Be like those kids in school who used to have like the speaker on their backpack and just blast music while like riding around on their bikes and stuff. Do that, but with the podcast. And see what happens. You know, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that you'll just find a lot of people that agree with you. Maybe the odd person who doesn't want to hear what I have to say, but hopefully they're not the odd vocal person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just see what happens.
I used to hate that in like the beach in Santa Monica, you get these people like riding by on bikes and they have like the loudest speaker. It's like, what are you getting out of this, dude? Like, put your headphones in and enjoy your bike ride on the beach. But like, the fact that you have to blare past people for like 30 seconds at a time, none of them are going to hear the whole song that you're playing or anything. It's just enough to like annoy them for a few seconds and drown out their conversation. Anyway, sorry.
They want to condemn you to experiencing whatever music they want you to listen to is really what's going on there, which is just, it's noise pollution. Call the police on those people.
Yes.
If we're going to thought police, let's noise police. Oh my goodness.
All the things. Yeah. That's why I live in a gated community now.
Yeah. It's the Trump guard.
My HOA to prevent noise pollution.
Build the
not
gate.
Not in my backyard.
2024, build the gate.
Let's see. Funning in Circle says, I should apologize for my bad sense of humor. My question about California and Florida on Friday was to see if you are aware of live streamers Stitch and Adam. Thank you for your work.
Stitch and Adam, I have no idea who those two individuals are. Does anybody know who Stitch and Adam is? Do you know who Stitch and Adam is?
No, I do not, actually. Okay. I feel like they may have come up in Super Chats before, but I've never seen the content. So we'll make a note. Check it out. I see Amal Googling it right now.
Yeah. Sitch and Adam. Is it Sitch? Sitch and Adam.
Oh, Sitch. Did I read that wrong?
I'll look him up.
Yeah, she did. Sitch. That's Stitch.
Sorry.
Like Lilo and Stitch. Celtic Blacksmith says, funning in circles. Never apologize for bad humor. Just double down, maintain intense eye contact, and make the room unnecessarily uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a strategy. That's definitely something you could do. And I don't know how well, you know, I think the majority of people would back down in that instance. I certainly would. If you make me uncomfortable enough, I'm just going to back out.
Yeah.
Of whatever
intense
it is.
Eye contact, like do that at the gym or something. Almost out of there.
Gone. Like I told you, I have a like very strong survival instinct. I'll get the heck out of there if you make me uncomfortable.
Okay, Celtic again says, the gender split in your audience is no accident. The guys are here to drool over Amal and the ladies. Well, come on, just look at that beard.
Guys, my mind is up here. I saw somebody commented on my Instagram and said, brains are the new tits. And I feel like that is the funniest. I was like, that's the funniest comment I've ever gotten. And that's maybe that'll be the tagline on our show from now on. Brains are the new tits. Guys, my mind is up here.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a beard equivalent, but it's failing me right now. Andre Baxter says, love your guys' content. Glad to finally catch you live. Keep fighting the good fight.
Oh, love that. I'm glad that you did get to finally catch us live. Hopefully it's a fresh and fun experience.
Chicks Flick says, if race is one of the least, making sure I didn't read that already. If race is one of the least important things about you, why have white people been historically racist against black people? Was MLK imagining things?
No, I think we have a misunderstanding here. And the misunderstanding here is that white people were correct in attributing or in making race an important factor about your life. So if they're incorrect in pedestalizing race and making it this huge thing, then race is not a significant thing. And we can track that race is insignificant very simply. I can put you in a room full of a ton of black people and ask you to pick out, you know, who's good and who's bad and all these different things, or who you agree with and who you disagree with. Their blackness does not inform you of anything. It doesn't tell you anything about that person. It doesn't communicate anything to you about that person in the same way that whiteness doesn't, in the same way that being, you know, Hispanic doesn't or being Asian doesn't. There are several tests we could undergo to prove that race is one of the most least significant things in your life. But, you know, we won't do all that today. It's just to say that white people had it wrong. And when Martin Luther King said we should judge those based on the content of their character, that content does not involve race. So there you go. So Martin Luther King was, in fact, correct, at least in that statement. He's done a lot of other stuff that we won't get into today that might not be all that correct.
Hannah D says, just had to say the woman/therapist from Friday's Live was insufferable. On a more positive note, thank you for your content. Love your content. Thank you, guys.
Yes, my eye twitched as I was reminded of that woman, and the idea that she could be counseling people as we speak is so concerning. But this is what I say, you know, like, I'm all for therapy. If you feel like you need therapy and it's going to be something beneficial to your life and you need it to, like, get through something, by all means, go for it. Just be super mindful of the person that you go to for therapy, because that girl's a therapist or a counselor, whatever her little title was. She's out there giving people life advice. And if that does not, you know, make you think twice, it should, especially if you're just considering therapy. Make sure you find the right therapist. Can't stress that enough.
Yeah, check their license. None of this life coach nonsense from, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, even beyond Academy. A license can be a real easy thing to obtain in that industry. Check the worldview.
Check the Yelp review.
Yeah.
Forsaken King says, FYI, 30 plus single straight male stonemason shouts to you. I download every stream of yours. Keep up the kick-ass work. Love you too, white boy from MIA, Miami.
Love you too, white boy. A stonemason. Okay. Is that like, it's got to be a dying trade, I feel like.
Maybe. I don't know.
Is it
people
booming?
Are building like fancy homes and probably need stuff like that.
Yeah, but how many people are learning stonemasonry? Are you like one of the few? Are you like a 1%er stonemason? You'd be raking in a lot of cash, I'd imagine, with the people who are building homes and stuff. Let me know. Don't send another super chat. Just let me know in the chat. Tell me.
So I imagine it's hard to get into.
I have questions.
Diva Don says, on another subject, MSNBC reported today that fast food employees in California are being laid off because minimum wage is being bumped up to $20 an hour. thoughts?
I saw that minimum wage was going to be raised. I didn't know it was going to be $20 an hour. I mean, I'm not surprised. Tom Sowell writes extensively about the raising of the minimum wage and how it's not necessarily the most helpful practice economically, and how it does lead to layoffs. It leads to actually discrimination, but that's a whole other argument that we don't have to get into right now. And yeah, I'm not surprised if you're raising the bar as far as what people have to be paid. I think companies are going to start to find ways to downsize the number of employees they have. And with the integration of AI and new machinery and tech, there's a lot of jobs that are going to be on the chopping block because you don't have to pay AI $20 an hour. And yeah, we'll see how that affects everything. But I'm not surprised to hear that that's the case.
Yeah, and similarly, I just saw a couple, like a week or two ago, City of Minneapolis kicked out Uber and Lyft on mm-hmm. the basis of they're not paying drivers enough, according to the government of Minneapolis. But effectively, what you're doing is, like, if a driver's not being paid enough, then it's their choice whether or not to drive. If it's not worth it to them, then they're not going to do it. That's how economics works. If they're yeah. driving, now you're like removing that option of engaging in gig work on the side and removing that from so many people who relied on that to like make ends meet or get a little bit of extra spending money or whatever. It's just insane. And under the guise of helping people, you're eliminating their options. And I feel like minimum wage is much the same logic.
Oh, so. Yeah. And I mean, and watch these like franchised, you know, corporations and stuff. They're going to leave the major cities and states that are going to be in instituting these policies, because then let's say you're Walgreens, for example, and you're in California and they say, well, now you have to pay a minimum wage of $20 plus your stores are getting looted and robbed every day. Which, you know, how are you going to make the money back that's being stolen to the tune of millions of dollars? And now just pay your employees more money. It's like unsafe conditions, crime, higher payments. If I was, you know, the CEO of a business like that, I'm saying, okay, we're just going to move our locations that are in California and send more locations to Florida or Texas. And we'll hang out there and expand there. And you're going to see a lot of companies that are headquartered in certain states just leave because of progressive policy.
Yes. And speaking of that, sorry, I got to have one more thought. The chips manufacturer NVIDIA just announced that because of DEI policy, I think Samsung or some companies that manufactures chips, which are essential for like national security because they go in all of our, you know, defense stuff, and it's also just computing, just massively, massively strategically important. That's why Taiwan is such a strategically important country, because so much manufacturing of chips happens there. But they were going to try to repatriate a lot of the manufacture of silicone chips to the United States. And companies that attempted to do it are now saying, because of DEI requirements, it is too expensive. It's not financially viable for us to create manufacturing chips in the United States. So literally these DEI policies are like compromising our national security mm-hmm. and escalating the probability substantially toward like a World War III, because China's right there with Taiwan. They could try to encroach on it. Then we have to defend them, because if we let that fall, we have no access to chips and we have no ability to make new computers, new defense stuff. And we're going to fall behind in all those dimensions. So just craziness, but all traced back to the progressive ideology of DEI. And so it seems like it's just this innocent thing of like, oh, we're trying to help people, but mm-hmm. oh my goodness, the consequences.
It
just
tracks.
Wild.
Yep.
Anyways, okay. Red, hopefully this is a nice comment to end us out here. Classy Cactus says, hey, Amel and Taylor, first Super Chat, just caught y'all's live. Wanted to thank you both for creating a fun environment where free thinking is encouraged.
Oh, that is so very sweet. I'm glad that you've enjoyed the environment we've created here on this show as we keep you up to date with everything that's happening in our little crazy, crazy world.
And clown world. Yellow Devil says, therapist divides into two words beginning with
the and rapist. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. I never actually thought about that. But yes, it does. It does divide into those two worlds and two words. Not that I think it harbors any significance toward the actual use of a therapist or their actual job. But that is an interesting note that I will remember.
The Arrested Development, the Tobias Fünge is a analyst/therapist, and he merged them together into a word that
oh my gosh.
The first syllable of the first word and the last syllables of the second word.
I got it. I put it together in my brain. Hopefully you guys did too, because I'm not going to spell that out for you. Yeah. I will not be spelling that out for you. What a strange note to end the show on. What a strange thought to end the show on. But guys, that is indeed the ending.
We do have one more.
Oh, we do. Okay. Perfect.
Yes. It's Chicks Flick says, you never acknowledge white racism, but always acknowledge the Google art tools, Gemini app. How can they sleep at night? LOL.
Wait, what? Never acknowledge white racism, but always acknowledge what?
The Google, like Gemini AI, how they would populate, like, you know, founding fathers pictures of black presidents and stuff.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't know. There's tons of white people who are racist. There's tons of black people who are racist. There's tons of all types of people who are racist in today's time. I don't know about a failure of acknowledging either of those things being in existence. So I can't speak to that. My apologies.
If I said something racist, I guarantee Yamlo will call me out. Quazakule says, wanted to say so much, but you guys already articulate my thoughts so much. And I appreciate how much you make my day. You guys
so
are the
sweet.
Best, and I love y'all. That's how we wanted to end.
Thank you, Quazakule. Boom. Extra button for you. We very much appreciate you. And I'm glad that your thoughts are finding a home on this show and that we're getting to them just as you get to them. Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. Hope you enjoyed. Leave a comment down below on your thoughts on the different stories we covered today. The Transgender Day of Visibility, Shakira feeling her little boys were emasculated by watching Barbie, and J.K. Rowling possibly going to jail. We did get another super chat from Classy Cactus that says, just wanted to add Braveheart is totally worth a watch, LOL. I know, there's so many things. I need to watch Star Wars, Star Trek, Braveheart, Lord of the Rings. There's a long, long...
Matrix.
The Matrix. Always. I've seen the first Matrix. I haven't seen the other two. Okay, so there's more to be added to my movie list. Maybe we'll create one and we'll start talking about these on the show. Do I want to make that promise? Probably not. Thank you so much for watching. As always, if you disagree with anything that was said in today's show, drop it in the comments down below. Duke it out, but do so respectfully. And if you like this video, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos for you guys every single day. Tomorrow's video is an interesting topic. We're talking modern day feminism, melding and mixing with the 4B movement coming out of South Korea, where women are swearing off men. No dating, no marriage, no sex, no children with men. How successful will this 4B movement be? I don't know. We'll talk about that tomorrow, and I would love to get your thoughts, so keep an eye out. With that being said, guys, have a fantastic rest of your Monday, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye.